Dale.
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin. Familia, we're going to have a good one. We're going to have a good time tonight. We had a nice warm up last night doing a draft on Fantasy Alarm. Buen amigo Andrew Cooper joining us, but oh man, I can't wait. Can't wait. I'm going to bring him in a second, but first off, please make sure you give us a like and subscribe on Familia FFP on YouTube. Give us that thumbs up. You're going to have plenty of reason to give us a thumbs up after this episode, during and after this episode. So please, por favor, give us a little bit of love there. Also, we are a proud partner of Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you use that promo code Familia23, Familia23, if you want to do it in Spanish. I'm going to meet you the first 100. I'm going to match you for every up to the first $100. So hey, $200 to play, best ball. Draft all the time. We've been doing some live best ball drafts on here. Andrew and I are going to do one. I'm going to get him on the calendar to do one in the future. Listen, this is Underdog best ball season. Get in there. And again, Familia 23. Oh, Familia. I love it when we go coast to coast. You know, I know we sometimes have to worry about the time zones, but I can't wait to just to do this one. So, I mean, Familia, this is going to be so much fun. This is going to be so much fun. I mean, I had such a great time, you know, with our guest, our invitado en lujo, back in February when we were in Vegas for the FSGA conference. I mean, seriously, just love chopping it up. And you know, he gave me some great advice and things that he learned on his own rise. You see him a lot on Fantasy Alarm with our, you know, we've seen him with our amigos at the Front Yard Fantasy crew. He's one of the kings, Los Reyes, when it comes to Reddit. So that's a big way how he grew. So again, told you, we're going coast to coast to the land of clam chowder. You know him as Coop a Fiasco on Twitter, but I call him my buen amigo, Andrew Cooper. Bienvenido, my friend. How are you?
What's up, my dude? The thing with you is that it's never a question of, is it going to be easy to talk to you, or are we going to have things to talk about? It's, can we get it done in an hour? Because you and me, man, every time I run into you, it's like, I look down and I'm like, what? Especially in Vegas where they don't shut the lights off. I look down and I'm like, what? It's 2 a.m. Jorge, what are we doing? Whether we're talking about Dodgers or concerts, man, like today we got to try and keep it to football, you know, within reason. But what's up, my dude? Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure. One of my very favorites, dude.
Oh man, you are one of my favorites, one of my favoritos, my friend. Hey, you know what? We were chopping it up last night. Hey, if you guys haven't seen it, that Fantasy Alarm Underdog draft that we had, go to that YouTube page. We just had a blast last night. But we talked a little bit about Kenley Jansen. Now, one of the things I forgot to mention last night that I remembered this morning, you know, being the closer with the Red Sox, you know. I know it's come out that he's a Laker fan. So is it all forgiven, or after Paul Pierce just kind of popped the seal on that one?
So I have a very pragmatic view on fans of opposing teams, right? So I have a hierarchy for fans. There's only three tiers of how much I like them or don't like them. Let's say rank them 1, 2, and 3. At 2 are fans of teams right in the middle, teams of that aren't rivals of mine. Those fans are fine. I like those fans. Above them, the fans I like most, rival fans that are respectful. Those are my favorite fans. Ranked at the very bottom, 3, rival fans who are disrespectful. Nothing like a Yankees fan or a Lakers fan who's a real jerk. So those are my least favorite. But at number, I put above everyone else, there's nothing I like better than talking to a well-informed and very respectful, and especially one that can take a joke and kind of throw some jabs. So I am fully on board with any fan of any other team, especially Yankees fans that I can joke with, or yourself, Dodgers fans, that I can joke with, as long as you're respectful. So you know what? It's okay with me. Paul Pierce is obviously, you know, proven that it's cool. Tom Brady grew up a 49ers fan. You know, everyone's going to have their teams that they like. So for me, that's my very favorite thing, is because, you know, I like to talk a little trash. All right, come on now.
Of course. I love it. You know what? And it's cool. You're right. The respectful part. I mean, Yankee fans, is a lot of them don't adhere right to that. So unfortunately,
exactly. But you run into a lot of them that just like the hat, you know what I mean? And those ones, they get really defensive. But when you get a real one, like like Howard Bender is a Jets fan. And, but like, I love giving it to him with the Jets and the Patriots, because at the end of the day, we're friends, we're respectful. So you know what, if you bring that, the right energy, bring the energy. I love it. You know?
Oh man. And I have a lot of friends who are San Francisco Giants fans, and we give it to each other all the time. And it's just, it's fun. It's fun. And I will tell, yeah, I won't say anything about the Red Sox because, 2018, they used the Dodgers as, to mop the floor. That was a historically good team. So,
Well, then you guys took Mookie and a few of our friends there and took care of business yourself. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's a lot of back and forth. You know, I want to see Celtics Lakers in the championship. I want to see it bad.
I think they're tied. Are they tied for most championships? I think they are.
I think it's very close. We have 17. I think it might be tied. I tell you this though. That Jimmy Butler is a menace. I was the one that said we're going to talk about football today. Here I am talking about Jimmy Butler. But, like, he's the devil, man. Like, he's a one-man wrecking crew. He scares the hell out of me.
He is phenomenal. Hey, listen, I'm hoping, you know, we're recording this before the Lakers take on the Denver Nuggets in game two. So hopefully the Joker won't be on the Lakers tonight. So, I want a good long series and good basketball, but,
bingo.
Oh man, mi amigo. So we're, you know, talking about football. Okay. We're past the draft. All of that. Thank you. Muchas gracias. Gracias a Dios for that one. We're past the NFL schedule. At least we're going to talk a little bit about that one. You know, we're kind of in that 2.5 month lull, but where we can really, really break things down for fantasy football folks. You know, how are you feeling? You know, kind of like we've just got OTAs between now and training camp.
Yeah. So I have a pretty strict schedule all year round. I'm football all the time. Like, there's no off season for us, right? Or like, we don't stop, right? Like, we were in February at a conference talking football, you know? So my schedule goes right when the playoffs happen. During the playoffs, I start my mentally building for this year, figuring out who's going to leave, who's not, right? I have to do that because I have to write about the draft. I have to write about all this other stuff. You, as fantasy football fans, this is the perfect time for you to do that mental building, right? And what's great for you is that I had to speculate on what was going to happen with the draft, what was going to happen with free agency. That's all done. So now everything's kind of set in place, right? It's like learning the state capitals. They're not going to change much from here, you know what I mean, moving forward. So if you can just go and really figure out, okay, who drafted who landed where this time of year, you're going to be so confident when your draft start in July and August that you're going to be telling your commissioner you need a 1 second clock to make your picks. So that's why this time of year is so important for me and for everybody else out there. And we'll sort through it now. Let's get a good base of where everybody is and get all that knowledge now so that when the drafts come, it's second nature, right? So that's why we're doing this now in May. You do your homework now so that you just show up to the test and knock it out.
Oh, yeah. By late August, it's like, okay, yeah, you know what? That guy's going to be there. If you're waiting on somebody, oh, yeah. You got three guys that you know are going to be, you know, if you're going anchor RB, it's like, okay, you know what? These guys will be in that range. I'll grab one of them at that point and I'll feel good about it.
Exactly. So, and you know what really helps this time of year doing that? Go on Underdog, use promo code FAMILIA23. The first few rounds of those drafts, there you go, promo code right there. The first few rounds of those drafts are identical to regular redraft leagues. I've been doing this for multiple years now, ever since best ball has been a thing. Before Underdog was even a thing, back with like best ball 10s, Underdog is the best platform now. But up until in those formats, you need to draft two tight ends, two quarterbacks at some point. Up until the people start drafting two of those, the ADP looks very similar, doesn't it, Jorge? So it gives you such a good look. It gives you such a good look, really. So if you're not doing Underdog, you should. And use that promo code and get in there. And I'm going to jump in with you. We got to do one. You came into the Fantasy Alarm family draft. I'm going to come in and do the Familia draft when you get it set up. So just let me know when that is. I'm in, buddy.
Awesome. Oh yeah. That's, you know, it's a lot of the same fans, Mr. Scampers, Dame Overboard. They're all over the place. Albert. Awesome. So hello to you guys. Sorry, we're recording and then releasing, but you know, live streams will still be, I'm still gonna be doing them all summer. So, awesome. So mi amigo, I thought it'd be kind of cool to kind of, you had a great article on fantasyalarm.com that kind of broke down the schedule release, some kind of island games that you're really, really excited about. So I thought we kind of chop it up over some of the games a little bit right now. And, you know, probably take about, you know, 5 or 6 games to just kind of talk kind of quickly and like kind of some early thoughts. What some guys, one of the games is that Monday Night Football game, Bills Jets on 9/11 in New, at the Meadowlands, but it's going to, but obviously it being in the backyard in New York right there, Aaron Rodgers, Gotham City taking on Josh Allen. How cool is that?
It's, I mean, if you want, that's the thing. It's like, we want, there's certain things we want out of a matchup, right? We want, there's a few buzzwords, right? Fireworks. We want implications, right? So you get a week 17 game, 18 game that's between two rivals in the same division. That's an implications game. This game, this is a drama game. And those are, I like it spicy. This is a drama game. La Familia. We look at Caliente here.
Oh,
we
want
that.
Boy.
We want that drama game. And you said it, man. I mean, like, first of all, like 9/11 means a lot to New York City. It means a lot to America. But mm-hmm. games on 9/11 to start the season on Monday Night Football under the lights, that alone doesn't even matter who the Jets would have been playing, right? Like that alone sets the stage. You're going to have the Bills come in with Josh Allen, the powerhouse division team. And on top of that, it's going to be the debut for Aaron Rodgers in the green jerseys, man. And I'm a Patriots fan, so I'm going to be sitting back. I'm like, I don't care who wins. You know what I mean? I might even root for the Jets just because, you know, it's like the Bills are kind of the bad guys now. So I might just even root for the Jets that night. So I get to sit back and just watch the drama unfold, man. That's going to be a fun one. And it's the first week of the season, so you know, sometimes we talk about these matchups week 12 or whatever, and it's a very different team at that point, right? You know, like all these Sunday night and Monday night football games for the Broncos, and the Broncos turned out to be not a fun team to watch in those games. So at least week one, we know, knock on wood, healthy teams coming in, ready to fly around. That is going to be a good one, man. That's going to be a real good one.
And I love the idea of Aaron Rodgers with a chip on his shoulder. So that could be fun. You know, another one, it's actually a few days before, Lions at Chiefs. Now, this one I think is going to have some fireworks. Now, I know the Lions were really good at home, but the Chiefs have a tendency to start slow on defense. So I think there's going to be some points in this game. And we know the Lions, they're rebuilding that secondary. So I think that's going to make Patrick Mahomes just licking his chops for this game.
Yeah, you said it best. Like, that's the formula we want for shootouts, is defenses that are kind of like, right? And offenses that are awesome. So the Lions did a good job with the rebuild, building it inside out, right? Going for Frank Ragnow and Pene Sewell and all these linemen that, you know, if you look at the All-Pro teams throughout the past, like, years or whatever, like, Andrew Whitworth was making the All-Pro team at 38 years old. So if you're going to build a, you know, you're a Rams fan, so yeah, you know Whitworth. So it's like, so those are the guys that you want to get early in this rebuild, because then you can give them a 10-year, $100 million contract, and then you'll have to negotiate a second contract. That's how long these guys play. So the Lions did that the right way. They went for that first, and then they started building the offense. And now they have a built offense, but not quite built defense, which is exactly what we want for shootouts. So you said it, like, you know, we got the drama game. This is the fireworks game, right? It should be a fun one.
Oh, it's going to be, I think it's going to be fun. I don't know what the line's going to be in that one, but it's going to be over.
It would be over 50 for sure. I mean, usually for people at home, when he says the line, you're talking the over under, right? Mm-hmm. Over under. And generally, really, if it's a really bad game, it'll be down near like 40. The right. Good games are at like 50, and this is the total points scored in the game. This one could be like 55, 50. I mean, very rarely do we see it go to like 60, but I could see this one at like 54, 55, man. And that's a fun game.
It's going to be good times. It is going to be good times. And football will be back, so it'll be good. Here's a game that's just going to be I think it's just going to be a fist fight. It's going to be Cowboys at 49ers. You talked about this one in your article. Week 5, two of the best defenses in the NFL. I think this is just going to be a barroom brawl.
Yeah, and this is one of the ones where it's like there's a bit of nostalgia to it, right? There's the teams that are the classic teams, right? And it's you can't take it away, even when they're bad. Like, coaching, there's a reason every coach wants to coach the New York Giants, right? It's such a prestigious position, right? And then these two teams, man, the Cowboys and 49ers, two classic organizations. The Patriots became the dynasty, but these were the dynasties, right? Like, the Cowboys and Niners, they were the original ones. And it's nice when they're both, because they had a rivalry kind of amongst each other, because they were, you know, spending all the money and everything, Jerry Jones and DiBartolo and those guys. But, it's nice when both teams are good and they can come together in a matchup like this outside of the division, where it's a meaningful game and the fans are going to be chirping, right? Like, the Cowboys and Niners fans, like, they're a certain breed of "this is our year" type fans. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And when it comes together and they're both good teams, it's just a lot of fun, man. So I think this is going to be a good one. This one is it's a primetime game, I believe, right? Yeah.
I think it's Sunday night.
Sunday night. Yeah. So that's going to be a fun one.
Oh, San Francisco. And it's going to be like, the weather's going to be nice. So usually October in San Francisco, it's going to be early October. So October in San Francisco is going to be it's the best time to be there. So
Cowboys fans not only travel well, but they're kind of all over the country as is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're, you know what I mean? Just calling the team America's team is probably one of the best marketing moves I've ever heard. Just like, they just, who decided that? They just one day were like, "Yep, we're America's team." And everyone was like, "Yeah," you know? So, amazing marketing move. It worked. The Cowboys fans are all over the place. So that'll be a good one.
Yeah. We got tons of them out here in LA. So
they're all over Boston. They're everywhere. Man. I tell you, it's Cowboys fans and Yankees fans everywhere. You can't get away from them.
Yeah, it's going to be whenever the Cowboys play at SoFi Stadium, it's 50-50.
Right.
So it's amazing. So speaking of 50-50, so and SoFi Stadium, this is an interesting game. You didn't talk about this one in your article, but I'm looking at this game, Seahawks at Rams, because I got to get a Rams game in there, and they're not going to be one of the schedules we break down. But I'm looking at this one to have sneaky shootout potential.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the Rams. Are not, their secondary is rebuilding, so I think they're going to give up some points, but I think they're going to score some points if Stafford's healthy. So, you got an excitement level about this one?
I'll tell you, we just did a big draft on Fantasy Alarm with Better Sports Network. I was telling you about the one with like Howard Bender and Josh Larkey, Scott Engel. We just like. Matt Deutsch reached out and just, you know, grabbed a bunch of people, and we did that one. That one's available on Fantasy Alarm YouTube if you want to check it out. But I was saying, a pick was made late in the draft when Matt Stafford went, and I couldn't help but think to myself, looking at the other quarterbacks where he's being drafted, and saying, you know what? What happens if Matt Stafford is Matt Stafford? Like, there's a real possibility that 2 weeks from now, we get video of Stafford and he looks good. And he's throwing. I need one video of him chucking a deep ball to Van Jefferson, and his ADP is going to pop. So if Matt Stafford's Matt Stafford, then that's going to be a good game, because I truly believe that Geno Smith at this stage is a good player. And it's fun when the Seahawks and Rams are good teams, right? Like, Sean McVay versus Pete Carroll, a little bit of chess matchery usually in these games. It's funny how both coaches are willing to circle that game and do something a little different sometimes in those games, right? Like, you watch it, like, all year, the Rams will use two tight end sets, and then they go up against the Seahawks and they kind of rug pull them with like three, you know, they have three wide receivers, or they mix it up, right? So I really do enjoy those and those, the NFC West games, man, they can be pretty, pretty brutal at times.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And this game, you know, also in this game, gosh, I mean, we haven't talked about Cooper Kupp. I mean, he's healthy. Who else? I mean, we talked about Van Jefferson, but by the way, Familia, if you haven't checked it out already, you mentioned a deep shot to Van Jefferson. It's on our amigo Laquan Jones on his Twitter. He put one on there with Van Jefferson getting a deep shot, and it looked pretty.
I love one of my favorite videos from, I think it was last season, was when Van Jefferson scored the deep touchdown against the Cardinals, and they panned over to his dad, who's Van Jefferson's father is a coach for the Cardinals. And he was so mad. I know deep down he was proud of his son, but he was like, I told you. Like, basically, he warned them, like, of it, because he obviously talks to his son. It's like, you know, I told you that he could do this. And it was like a 60-yard bomb. So just a fun situation. And before we move on, I do want to mention, you know, it's since you're a Rams fan, I love the guy they picked up late, Puka Nacua. Oh, yes. I think that if you look at his peak season – right. So we look at peak seasons in college football. If you take his peak season and compare it to all the other guys, he had the second highest yards per route run of any wide receiver. He played in kind of a run heavy offense, but when he was on the field and when he was targeted, he was crazy efficient. So I really like that guy coming in. As far as day three wide receivers go, he's one of the ones I'm targeting in fantasy. So nice, sneaky little pick for you guys there.
That one's good. I've heard comps to Robert Woods. I mean, it might be kind of slow, but I mean, one thing I remember, I mean, Cooper Kupp, he started to pop right off the bat in his rookie year in the Sean McVay offense. So it is possible when the guy's a good route runner. So I like Puka. That was that. Fingers crossed. Stay healthy and pick up that offense. So the one that's got us going like this a lot, week 17, Bengals at Chiefs. It's how beautiful is this game? I mean, Bengals at Chiefs was week 17 2 years ago, and that was an explosion of points. I mean, it was, if you had Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, you won your league that year. It's in Kansas City this time. I think you just throw out the records, and they're just gonna be, this could be going for AFC supremacy.
We're talking about all the things, right? The drama and the fireworks, right? And the implications. This has it all, right? It has every part of it. And this matchup is quickly becoming a classic. Like, so we talk about the Cowboys, 49ers. These teams have matched up so many times. And the big thing about it is the Bengals have actually won. Like, the Bengals win this matchup. Like, I think the Bengals actually have won this matchup more than the Chiefs. The Chiefs won it more recently last year, but the Bengals can win. So it's like, it's got everything we look for in a game. Knock on wood that everyone stays healthy and that the implications are there. But I mean, they could have put this game anywhere they wanted on the schedule, and they put it where they did for a reason.
Oh man, if you're grabbing, and I think if you're grabbing Ja'Marr Chase in best ball in usually the first three picks, you got to grab Burrow. You got to grab Burrow and just kind of load up on this game.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that, I when I saw the schedule, I was like, rubbed my hands together. I'm like, here we go. I'm going to get all these guys. And I realized it didn't change the way I drafted at all, because they're going so high already. You know what I mean? Like, I was already taking T. Higgins in the second. I was taking Ja'Marr Chase at two overall, sometimes even one if I want to mix it up. I was taking T. Higgins in the second round already. I already have a ton of Joe Mixon, right? Like, Travis Kelce goes at like five overall. I thought it was going to change the way I drafted, but it didn't, because I was already like kind of at max capacity on these guys. I don't know how much high, you can't move Ja'Marr Chase any higher. You can't move Joe Burrow that much higher than we have him. Patrick Mahomes, I was already taking him basically QB1 off the board, you know? Like, you're already trying to stack Travis Kelce with Mahomes first pick, second pick. So I don't know. I looked back and I was like, I guess it didn't really change a whole lot. But if you can get it done, man, that could be the one that wins you $3 million, you know?
No, I tried that last. Remember, I tried that last night, and I missed getting Mahomes by two picks. So that's all right.
They're not going to let you do it. The fantasy alarm hashtag family isn't going to let you do it. Maybe the familia will let you do it when you get that draft going, but I doubt it.
No, No way. They're dogs. Oh, yeah. Familia. Oh, yeah.
Those perros. I get a little Spanish, dude. I get a little un poco.
Yeah. Muy bien.
I'm doing my best.
So week 17, though, I mean, there are some games that this year where actually I've got the week 17 schedule up.
Yeah,
and we can just kind of look at real quick, because, man, it's, let's see, where is that one? Here we go. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this one, and we definitely have some games that, you know, to really talk about.
Yeah,
I mean, Jets Browns could be a game if Deshaun Watson does something. Lions at Cowboys,
right?
You know, Christmas. I mean, New Year's Eve. I mean, points go crazy in Dallas.
Yeah. And also, yeah, it's like, not to mention I've looked through a bunch of these, and they did a good job of, I think they want points, right? So you look at where these games are in Jerry World, in because it's going to be some of these games are, look, if you look at it, some of these games are going to be New Year's Eve, right? So it could be cold and stuff. Look at the Jack. They're going there. They got the game in Texas, Texans in Texans, Jaguars in Florida. So they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. Before you scroll too far, a game I like right there, Dolphins, Ravens. So you have the Dolphins, who were already pretty high flying, right? And then now you have the Ravens switching over to Todd Monken's air raid offense. Maybe, you know, I don't know if they're going to be a top 10 team in pass attempts, but I think they're done being a team that's bottom five or so. So with this new air raid, maybe that's a matchup too. You know, Patriots Bills you can skip.
Well, you know, and remember last year, one of the highest scoring games of the year was Dolphins Ravens. I think in week two, when Tua threw for like 470 yards, and you know, Tyreek Hill. You know,
the Ravens ran like 83 offensive plays. I think it was. It was insanity. The average, to put that in perspective, the average number of offensive plays by a team is like 55 or so.
Yeah, I think Lamar Jackson scored 50 points by himself that game. So, sneaky game, sneaky good high scoring game could be Falcons at Bears.
Right.
I think both defenses are rebuilding. And I think by that point, Justin Fields is going to be scoring some points.
Right. And they'll at least be able to run on each other. Right. And now they have their mobile quarterback, Bijan Robinson. So at the very least, I like those players. I like Justin Fields. I like Bijan. For the Bills-Patriots game, remember the time that Mac Jones threw the ball three times and the Patriots won that game? That's what you worry about when you go up. They don't have a dome up there. Neither team has a dome. So that game is one I'm probably going to stay away. That's a stay away game for me.
I looked at, you know, it's one of the, I mean, it's not the reason not to pick Josh Allen, but definitely still going heavy on him. Yeah. It's funny. I asked last year when I was doing my NFL insider series, I asked my insider for the Bills, and I was like, why didn't they put a retractable roof on that place? You know? And he just said, that's just the way they want it.
They thought it would help them, right? But now they're I think at the time, it's like you think about it and you're like, okay, you know, we're going to be a ground and pound type team. But then Josh Allen kind of transformed from a guy that had 52% completion percentage into a guy that can sling it. And now they look at it and they're like, damn, we kind of are a high flying team that could use that doesn't need the elements. You know, the elements benefit the Patriots if that happens, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. You mentioned Jags, Panthers. I mean, gosh, you know, even Giants, Rams, the Giants could be scoring some points on the Rams that week. So maybe that's a reason to think about Daniel Jones. Cardinals at Eagles. I think that's going to be a blowout. And
it's going to be a blowout. I think they did that on purpose because Jonathan Gannon, they're trying to create drama. So put yourself in the mind of a schedule maker, right? And you got to figure out like, okay, how do we create something? Well, the coach of the Cardinals this year is Jonathan Gannon, who was the defensive coordinator for the Eagles. And they actually tampered with Jonathan Gannon, and the Cardinals had to give draft picks to the Eagles this year to settle that dispute. Otherwise, they would have been penalized. We've seen teams lose. The Dolphins lost a first round pick for tampering with Tom Brady. They settled it without the league, but they had to give up picks. So contentious situation there, former coach, that's what they're going for. I don't know if that's going to translate to fantasy football, Jorge, so I think you might be right to maybe stay away from the blowout, but they're trying to create drama. I respect it. I used to be a non-drama guy, but now that I'm in the industry, Jorge, you know, we need these. I like a little spice, you know what I mean? I like to have a little take. Let's get a little crazy, you know? So I like that matchup for that purpose, but for fantasy, I don't know.
I think it's going to be one of those games where Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, and Devonta Smith just load up early, and then they just play keep away, and you know, that might be a sneaky Kenneth Gainwell game. So you know, they kind of salt the game away. But you know, looking at other ones, Steelers at Seahawks could be interesting. There could be some points there. The Steelers are still rebuilding their secondary, so on the road, Chargers at Broncos is potentially.
I like that.
Yeah, the Chargers traditionally do not do well in out there. So when they travel to Mile High, but you know, Justin Herbert will still score some points. Oh, and by the way, you mentioned they don't, it looks like they don't have a Monday Night Football game that week. So, oh, and you were talking, making sure that they had a good, I mean, we already talked about Chiefs Bengals, but, Packers at Vikings, that they made sure that they were in a dome this time, not last year where it was the Sunday night game and the Vikings were on the road.
Yeah, so I think the as far as the Monday Night Football, I want to say that for broadcasting purposes, the college football has like a stranglehold on New Year's Day, right? There's always the games on New Year's Day. So I think that's why there's no Monday Night Football, because I think college football owns that day, right? So, yeah, that's why there's no game there. And, you know, there's a number of those games that, like, the Packers-Vikings could be a good one. It's all about what you believe in, right? So if you believe in Jordan Love, then you get in on that game. If you believe in Sean Payton and Joe Lombardi, then you bet on the Broncos-Chargers game, right? But so it's about what you believe in at that point. And the question really becomes, in what formats do we care about week 17 versus not, right, Jorge? Like, because there's some formats where it matters more than others, no?
Absolutely. Obviously, in best ball, it's going to matter. It is going to matter. It's, oh, man.
Well, so first, a self-contained league. So, like, if we do one that's just you and me and 10 members of the familia, and that's it, and that one maybe it doesn't matter as much, right, because it's just total points. But in underdog, the best ball mania, that is where it definitely matters, right? Like, because then at the end, the way that one works, for anyone that isn't familiar, weeks 13 or so, the playoffs start, and they just start eliminating teams. And then there's a big pool of people left for the last week, and whoever has the single highest score wins $3 million. So in that one, you have to be thinking about week 17. Right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's where, you know, in this kind of game, someone like Jaden Reed, yes, you know, the third wide receiver for the Packers, if for some reason he goes off, I mean, he could sneak you in and get you to win. So that's why I love the underdog. Don't forget Familia 23. So
good. Familia 23, yeah. And, you know, like the Scott, yeah, you got to get it out there, because, you know, people are going to join up. If you want to party with us, you might as well use the promo code, because they'll match up to $100, or if you put $20, they match 20. If they, you know, we would do like $5 drafts anyway. So, but yeah, the Scott Fishbowl is another one where I will pay close attention to the schedule. That's another big one. But in my normal redraft leagues, I honestly don't go too crazy with the schedule. You know, obviously your championship week matters, but getting there is way more important. So I'm not going to not draft Jalen Hurts because he's playing the Cardinals that week. Like, I'm still going to draft Jalen Hurts because he's awesome. And he'll probably still be awesome no matter what. So, yeah, maybe as a tiebreaker, you might consider it. But in normal leagues, I don't worry too much about it. In these big tournaments, though, you have to think about it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know what? Let's talk about a few teams, because I got to kind of thinking with the schedule release. There are some teams that have interesting schedules right now. And I thought, you know what? I went to BetMGM, looked at the over-under there. And, you know, I thought maybe we could take a look at the schedule. So we're going to start, we've teased them a little bit, talked about, let's go to Big D, looking at the Cowboys. Where do I have that one? Okay.
There it is.
Let me share the screen.
Now I got something. You mentioned that I'm, but you said the Reddit king. There is no king on Reddit. I'll tell you this. They do like me over there. Sometimes they like me, sometimes they hate me, but that's just a community of people sharing information. Great place to come hang out. Come check me out over there. My username over there is Coop. There it is. Coop. There it is. So come check me out over there. I love the resources though. So I actually brought a resource to the show that somebody made over there. Check this out, Jorge. Somebody combed through all the single game matchups, the early lines, and figured out what the records would be if the favorite won every game. So we can kind of look. Yeah. So basically, like, for instance, the Chiefs are favored in every single game, so they would go 17-0. So it's kind of interesting to look at how, like, what the what it might look like. So I'll bring those up as we go through, so we can kind of compare and contrast. Obviously, the favorite doesn't win every time, so that's not going to be the end. But it's kind of interesting to look at that, so we can talk about that alongside this, right?
Oh, that's funny. Okay, that's cool, cool,
right? Yeah.
So, on this one, the screen's a little small, but at New York Giants, traditionally that's a tough game for them. But in the beginning of the season, who do you like? I kind of like the Cowboys in that one.
I like the Cowboys, man. The Cowboys get too much hate. Dak Prescott's a good player. They brought that. Their offensive line, if Tyron Smith could stay healthy, I mean, like, the guy they drafted last year, Tyler Smith, stepped in really well for him. The Cowboys, Stephen Jones already came out and said, we have five good linemen. People were like, oh, who's going to play where? He's like, we have five good linemen. They're awesome. He goes, those five guys are going to play. He goes, we'll figure out where they play. They don't care, right? Like, they want to win. So that's good enough for me. I think the Cowboys are going to be a very good team. Spoiler alert, might be leaning towards the over on this one. But I think they take care of the Giants. I'm a little worried with the Giants that Brian Daboll is a great coach. And the reason that worries me is because sometimes these great coaches stick with quarterbacks that aren't good enough for too long. So, like, think about the Chiefs, right? They with Alex Smith, they were winning 12 games, 14 games all the time. But once they moved on to Patrick Mahomes, we're all like, oh, maybe Alex Smith wasn't that good. Maybe Andy Reid is just really good, you know? Look at Doug Peterson with the Eagles, like with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. It was looking good. But now that it's Jalen Hurts, we look at it and we're like, damn, where was this the whole time? So I worry a little bit that maybe they should. And again, sorry to any Daniel Jones fans out there, but I'm just not sure he's the long-term answer, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's we're going to see. I mean, obviously, they got Darren Waller this year. But, I mean, young wide receivers, new wide receiver crew, they didn't get, like, the A1 guy. Maybe they want Darren Waller to, you know, kind of – because Mike Kafka, he didn't call plays, but he was a part of the offensive scheme setup for the Chiefs and Travis Kelce. So maybe works in some of that magic in there. So I say, okay, we're counting that as a win, but Jets in Big D, that's going to be a dogfight, but I'm wondering if the Jets on a short week might not be after an emotional one. I think that could be a win for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's hard unless you're Tom Brady. And even Tom Brady had a little bit of growing pains with the Buccaneers. Like early on, they had some tough ones. And then once they got into rhythm, it was kind of a steamroll. But I think early on, I could see the Jets dropping a couple. So I like giving this one to the Cowboys. And to be honest, like when you look at some of these division matchups, going back to the Giants, we might just want to say they split them because if the teams are both good, they split. So maybe we give the first one to the Giants, and when they go to the Dallas later, that's a win for the Cowboys. What do you say?
Okay, let's do that. So it was 1-1. I think we give them the Cardinals game. That's even in there. I think the Patriots, sorry, but I think it being in Big D, I think it's 49ers in San Francisco. I'm giving the game. I mean, I want to give it to Dallas, but man, I mean, that 49er defense is traditionally so good,
especially at home. Give that one to the Niners. Let's give that one to the Niners.
3-2 there. Chargers. I think there's going to be some points. SoFi on Monday Night Football.
I wasn't even thinking about that. There's so many good matchups on this schedule that I picked one Cowboys one because Cowboys 49ers and being the primetime game and everything, but this is going to be a primetime game too, and it could go either way. I think I still like the boys here though. And this is also Kellen Moore, former offensive coordinator for the Cowboys coaching the Chargers, man. This is another big one that I probably should have wrote about that one, huh?
Oh, man. Well, we got time. We got time. There's new things that can come up. I think we're 4-2 there. Cowboy, the Rams, 5-2. I don't get it. It's going to be a Big D. In Philly, I think we're giving it to Philly on that.
That's one. Philly. That's Philly. Yeah. Yep.
And I think, okay, so five and three. We talked about home and home with the Giants. So 6-3 on that one at Carolina.
I got the Cowboys for sure. Rookie quarterback. Yeah.
So 7-3 Commanders, second year quarterback in Big D. I mean, I know the Commanders sometimes punch them in the mouth, and this is a Thanksgiving game, but I can't see the Commanders winning.
No way. That's 8-3
8-3 Seahawks in Dallas.
I could see the Seahawks winning this one. I think the Seahawks, even in Dallas, I believe the Seahawks are a good squad, and I think they match up well with the Cowboys in that they now have three wide receivers, and you know, Trevon Diggs is a good player, but he is susceptible to letting up the big play. And now with Tyler Lockett and Metcalf and Jackson Smith and Jigba, I could see the Seahawks winning that one. So I would actually give this one to the Seahawks.
So okay, so we're 8-4 on that one. Eagles. The Cowboys punched the Eagles in the nose. Granted, it was with Gardner Minshew last year when they were in Dallas.
Split this one too, you think? We gave the Eagles the first one. Yeah, I'm on board.
We're at 9 now. At Buffalo, I think you got to give that one to Buffalo.
Absolutely. Yeah.
9-5 At Miami.
I think I would actually, even though Miami, if this game was in September in Miami, I would definitely give it to Miami. Well, I mean, they're both warm weather teams, but I think I'm going to give this one to Miami too. I think Miami's a good team.
So Detroit coming into Dallas, is that their 10th win?
Yes. I think they close it out winning both these. So I think
to 11.
And the crazy thing is that there's so many games that we could have gone either way, and we gave a lot of them to the other team versus the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I like betting the over on this. So I'm like trying to think of worst case scenarios, like Bills and Dolphins win, Seahawks win, even giving those games to the other teams. The Cowboys are looking pretty, they're looking like a playoff team, right? That's enough winnable games.
Oh, that's crazy how it's just like, we just barely get the over. We just barely got the over on this one. So we got Bengals 11.5 wins. So that one, let's see, where do I have the schedule? Yeah,
so to put it in perspective, if the Cowboys, if every game went to the favorite based on the research that guy did, the Cowboys would go 12-5. So not too far off from what we said, but they're favored in a couple of the games that we gave to the other team. So we said they win 11. If they win every game they're favored in, they would go 12-5. So we actually did a pretty good job there, I think.
Wow. Okay. All right. So we're looking at the Bengals. Yeah, right off the bat, at Cleveland, home Baltimore, home Rams.
Yeah. Now the hard part about this division is that you want to say the Bengals win all the division games, but they're not going to, right? Like, we know we have to give a game, even if we say they sweep a couple of these teams. We have to give at least one or two games to these division opponents, right? Like, they're not going to win all six of them. In this division especially, it is such a – those games are so violent. You know what I mean? It is – the way they play each other is pretty crazy. You know, I always think back to that Thursday night game, the one where Ryan Shazier got hurt. And it was, but that wasn't, there were so many brutal, brutal hits in that game. And it's just like, that's the way this division plays. So we got to figure out what games are going to be won by the other teams. I think that Cleveland wins. I think Cincinnati wins the opener. I think they're the Bengals, you know?
Barely. Even though Burrow has had a tough time in Cleveland. But
I could be swayed on giving this one to Cleveland. Because, I mean, there are going to be games, I'm telling you. There are going to be games that these division teams, it doesn't go the way we think.
Yeah, this game's going to be a toss-up, but yeah, I think it'll be – this one could go Cleveland. I think you could see Baltimore and it wins against Baltimore and the Rams.
Okay. Well, let's give that first one to Cleveland just to err on the safe side.
Yeah, so I think we're 2-1 and going to Tennessee, going to Arizona.
Wins.
Yeah, so all of a sudden that's 4-1. Home against Seattle.
That's going to be an interesting game, but I think I would still take the Bengals there. It's kind of hard for me to take Seattle there.
Yeah. So now we're 5-1 and potentially 6-0 if they win the Battle of Ohio. So
the schedule makers should have made Cincinnati go to play in Seattle.
Yes.
Right. Like that, Well, that would have been a better game, in my opinion. But what do I know? I'm not a schedule maker.
So now San Francisco, now they got to go to San Francisco. San Francisco is getting some tough games in their yard. So that's going to be good. I think San Francisco with this one.
I'd say they definitely got to drop at least one of these games. Even coming out of the bye week, San Francisco, Buffalo, back to back. They'll drop one of those, right?
I think so. Hard to especially seeing the way they beat up on Josh Allen in the playoffs last year. Hard to see them losing that game at home. But I think they lose the San Francisco game. So that puts them at 7-2, I believe. Mm-hmm. Seven and two with Houston. I think we don't even worry about that one. Yeah. At Baltimore, I think Baltimore gets them in that one.
Yeah, they easily could. It's going to be a Thursday game too. So that's a short week. So yeah, we'll give that one to Baltimore.
So now we look at and then we look over at Pittsburgh in Cincy. So I think Pittsburgh winning at home. I mean Pittsburgh, the Bengals beating Pittsburgh at home. I think that's very possible.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. And
so that makes
they beat the Steelers. I say they beat the Steelers as well at home.
Yeah. So that makes it 8-3 at Jacksonville.
That's going to be a good game. That'll be a fun game.
Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football. I could give that game to the Jaguars. I think so they're a good team. They match up kind of similarly.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I mean, they were back-to-back number one picks. That's going to be caliente. So that one's okay. So now we're at 8-4. Indy and Minnesota in Cincinnati.
They win both games.
Yeah, dome teams going in December, traveling to Ohio in December. So that puts us at 10 wins. And with three games to go at Pittsburgh, at Kansas City.
I think they easily get to 12. They win two of those. They win at least two of those games, even with Kansas City, because Kansas City is a coin flip, right?
Yep.
So I think 12 wins is pretty reasonable for Bengals. They do have a tougher schedule than I thought. Based on what the Reddit scientist says, he pulled all the odds. Bengals are favorites in all of these games except two. So the
wow,
yeah, they're 15-2 is what they would suggest. So obviously the Kansas City game they're underdogs in. I'm trying to think what other game they would be underdogs in. Maybe the Buffalo game.
The Buffalo game in Buffalo. Maybe San Francisco.
Could be San Francisco. Coming out of the bye week is really friendly to the Bengals there. Apparently they're only dogs in two of those games. That's pretty crazy, right?
I can't imagine them going 15-2. So
yeah, they won't. They won't. Well, that's the thing is because the thing is, they it's based on who's a favorite. Could be a one point favorite, but we also have to remember I would bet on the Bengals to win every game in the division, and we know they won't because that division is crazy, right? So you have to factor in the curveballs as well.
Oh man. Well, speaking of crazy, and we're not going to talk about Dan Campbell. But seriously, the Lions are one of those teams. They're kind of the darlings. They get, we already talked about them getting the first game coming out of the chute against, in Kansas City, but they've got themselves an interesting schedule too.
Yeah.
Let me see, where is that one?
9.5 win over under. It doesn't seem to match the hype. You would think that people seem to love this team. You would think that they'd be pushing the sports book up to 10, 11. But, I mean, it's hard to predict double-digit wins. But, I mean, that's borderline playoff with a 17-game schedule.
Big time, yeah. Big time.
Let's see if we can find them.
So, 9.5 wins. Okay, I don't expect a win in Kansas City.
No.
So, on the opener. But then potential for the Seahawks and the Falcons come into town. Now they played some big high scoring games last year. I think they were both in Detroit, and coming into Detroit, could we see them sweep those games?
I mean, I definitely think they beat the Falcons the way this team is set up right now. Yeah, they can handle that situation. Seahawks is a tough one. That's a toss up, but I'm willing to give it to the Lions. Yeah, Let's say the Lions come out of that first three game stretch 1-3, 1-2.
Okay. Okay. So okay.
Oh, one sorry. Two and one.
And then going to Green Bay, but going to Green Bay in, you know, at I think it's October 1st, yeah. That game. So weather's not going to be an issue. I mean, they beat Green Bay. They won in Green Bay when it was like, you know, freezing temperatures last time. Can you see the Lions going on the road and getting one?
Yeah, I don't. Why not? I mean, it's Jordan Love. I think he's going to be solid, but I don't like what I'm hearing. What I was hearing out of the Chiefs when they moved on from Alex Smith, they kept saying they love this guy, like he's fireworks, he's mustard. With Jordan Love, I hear people saying, oh, you know, we got to set expectations right, and yeah. You could start slow, right? Like, that's not what you want to hear, right? You want to hear them say, we've got this secret weapon. That's what it was like. That's how it felt with Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, it doesn't feel like that, does it?
Oh, no, it does not feel that way. I mean, I can see tempering enthusiasm, but yeah, it's. I'm hoping the vibes are better. I'm gonna when I talk to my Packers insider, hopefully get a little bit better look.
I'm willing to give it a split with the Packers.
Yeah, yeah. So okay, so right now we're 2-2, right?
Yeah, we'll give them the win. We'll give a one win and one loss versus the Packers.
Home and home. So yeah. then you got the Panthers. I think they're still gonna be breaking in Bryce Young at that point. So I think we're looking at 3-2 on this one.
And I'll give it a win against the Buccaneers as well.
Yeah.
I just don't trust Baker Mayfield. I think that team could be doing a bit of a bridge year.
Yeah. So 4-2 at this point. Now you're going to Baltimore. I think you got to get Baltimore this one.
Yes. Yep. That's Baltimore.
And then you got the Raiders coming to town. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that one for the Lions.
I like it too. Yeah. Jimmy, I don't like what I'm hearing from Devontae Adams about. Oh, like Josh Jacobs already said, right, when Waller got moved, he was not happy. And now Devontae Adams is saying doesn't agree with the vision.
Oh, man. Devontae Adams, I mean, he proved he can. It's not that Devontae Adams is great, that he doesn't need Aaron Rodgers to be great. But man, I don't like that.
Devontae Adams is a Hall of Fame player, a well-respected player. If I'm Josh McDaniels, I want to be on the side of him because people listen to him. If I'm Mark Davis, I talk to Devontae Adams and see what he's thinking, right? So, and if he's telling reporters now, I don't know, man. If I'm McDaniels, I'm trying to get on his good side. So let's give that one to the Lions. Chargers. Hot one here. That's a hot one. I'll give that one to the Chargers. The Chargers, I think, are ready.
And they're going to do it at home. They're going to do it at home. So that makes a 5-4. And now you got Bears Packers. So I think we're giving those to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So here's the interesting part for them. You know, once the weather gets cold, you know, after that Baltimore game, the only weather game that they have potentially is in Chicago in December. Everything else is in a dome.
Right. Yeah. So, the Vikings got the dome now. They both have the dome and they play the Vikings twice at the end here, which is kind of crazy situation with the schedule set up.
Those are
implication games right there.
Yeah. But Lions Vikings at the end, that could be for the division. So all of a sudden, so now we're, let's see there.
People forget that even with great teams, if you set it up the division like that, anyone can win. Like the Patriots, even though the Patriots weren't that good, they were like, if Nyheim Hines didn't run those two kickbacks, the Patriots could have stuck it to the Bills, man. The Patriots were pretty damn close to making the playoffs. So when you stack up the division games like that at the end, we could be going into that Bears game saying it's anyone's division. And then, you know, so could be pretty spicy there.
So, so that makes us, so it puts a 7-4 after the Packers, and now you're going to New Orleans and Chicago. I think they split those.
Yeah.
I think they lose in New Orleans, even though I don't love their quarterback situation, but they've got good guys and they've got a good defense. And, but the Bears are still rebuilding. So right now, I think are we at 9 wins with the Bears?
If that puts us at 9, that's pretty wild because the over-under is 9.5. But these are four tough games to wrap this. Like, they just need to win one to hit the over. But, I mean, not easy games. The Broncos are probably the easiest win here. I mean, like, putting that Cowboys game in between the Vikings game, they really could have used an easy matchup in between those two games, right? To think a little bit about the last game. Right. Like, that's a gauntlet there. I think that's why they're set at 9.5, because this is not an easy schedule in the way it's set up.
Man.
Pretty rough. I'm willing to give them 10 wins. I think it's exactly 10.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So according to Reddit, then this is, you know, they weigh public sentiment. People love betting the Lions. If every game were to go based on what the odds makers have, the Lions would go 12-5.
Ooh.
Right. But you got to
think about, we only gave him 10 wins.
We only gave him 10. Well, the thing is, the Chiefs would go 17-0 if it went that way. You got to think about it in the way the fans think some of these games, Lions versus Saints, Lions versus Broncos, those are difficult games. But in the mind of the fans, the Broncos suck and the Lions are really fun and awesome. So the more money is going to come in on the Lions than it's going to, you know? So it's like, you have to think about that when you're betting these. Does that line mean one team's better, or does that line mean the public likes Dan Campbell? You know? So it's an interesting thought experiment with some of these games. You know, I think when that weekend comes around and the sharps start putting their money down, the real big money gamblers, I think that line's going to end up being closer to 1 point than it is being like a, you know, like when the realism starts setting in and the kneecap biting jokes and stuff start fading away, I think people are going to realize that those aren't freebies, those games. So
not at all. Oh man, all right. So we talked about the Jets are 9.5 wins. So let's grab their schedule. Oh, wait a second. Theirs is, where are they? There we go. Theirs was on Twitter. So we got the 9-11 game against the Bills. I'm still kind of looking at that one and thinking, you know what? I don't know if I'm ready to give that one to the, Jets just yet.
Yeah. Nope.
So even, go ahead.
I think even Jets fans would accept as long as it's not a blowout, I think even Jets fans would be okay with just it being a game, right? Because that's why you brought Aaron Rodgers in. And, you know, if it's a game where they lose by three or lose by one touchdown, then you can go home feeling pretty good about it. Now, if the Bills come in and just pull their pants right down, right, and just Aaron Rodgers looks old, that's not going to sit well with the city of New York, right? So, you know, I think the Jets probably lose that one, but I'm just hoping it's competitive, because that's good for football, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so 0-1, but then you get the Patriots coming to town on the 24th. That one,
give that to the Jets.
I think that one, you give that one to the Jets. Then they go to Denver.
Yeah. We already did the Cowboys. We said the Cowboys beat the Jets earlier when we talked about. Oh, yeah. So
that's right.
Yeah. So we call this 2-1. Going into the Chiefs are that's a loss, so 2-2.
Right.
Going into Denver, I don't know. I can see the Jets. That's going to be a bit of a narrative there, right? Because Nathaniel Hackett failed with the Broncos. Now he's calling the plays for the Jets. He'll have a chip on his shoulder going into that game, huh?
I think so. Maybe by that point they'll have four games under their belts with Aaron Rodgers. Is he possibly hitting his stride on that one? I think I'm ready to give that one to that one.
I like that. Yeah. And then, you know what? Nathaniel Hackett has more inside information about the Broncos organization than just what the Broncos would know about this one guy. You know, it's easier to bring over that info than it is to just for the Broncos to be like, we know what Nathaniel's going to do, you know, because Roger's going to be calling a lot of the shots anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah,
absolutely. That's his offense.
Right.
Okay, so now we're 3-2. Eagles come into town. Man, they got a tough home schedule.
Jets schedule is brutal. Yeah, I got to give that game to the Eagles, right?
Yeah, 3-3. They got the bye. Then they go a road game against the Giants. I think I give that one to the Jets, though.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, absolutely. So we're 4-3. Then you got the Chargers coming into town in November.
This is a tough game. I don't know. The Chargers are such a hard team to read. They're such a hard team to read because they can beat anyone and they can lose to anyone. That's exactly the MO for that team.
I think I give this one to the Jets. If things are clicking with Rodgers, I think that the Jets are going to be favored in this one. I think they're going to take that one.
Yeah, I'm so on board with that.
That's what is that four? Let me see, 5-3 at that point. Mm-hmm. 5-3. Then you go to the Raiders.
I have Jets winning that as well.
Yeah, 6, and then going to Buffalo. I think it's going to be a sweep for Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So 6-4.
These Dolphins games are going to be important for the Jets because I think I have the Dolphins winning at least one, maybe both. So in this division, it's kind of always been that way. It's so weird. You have to win your Dolphins games, right? Like it's historically, that's how I've always felt with the Patriots, and they lose to the Dolphins all the time. And when they do, seriously though, you go back and look at it, because Tom Brady just destroyed the Bills historically. I think he only lost like 3 games to the Bills. Like, so the Bills were just a write off for a long time. But like, it almost boiled down to like, if we beat the Dolphins, we'd get home field and all this stuff. And when the Patriots failed in the playoffs because they had to go on the road, I always look back and I said, if we had just beat those damn fish, we went down there, you know? So, and still the Jets, look at the schedule. These Dolphins games it's going to mean everything, right?
And one of the things I looked at the Dolphins schedule, they get the Buffalo and the Patriots games early in September. Ugh. So they don't have to worry about those trips. So they've got to go to Miami in December. So that's going to help them out a little bit. I think the only potential weather games for the Dolphins are this game and then the Baltimore game in week 17. So yeah.
Which that, November 24th is not going to be too bad in New York. Yeah. It usually is all right. It's usually around the end of November where like you're probably not going to get snow, you know?
Oh man. So you got, so, but I think we're giving that one to the Jets, right?
I want to see what it looks like if we give the Dolphins both games.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Because I think the Dolphins are a really good team. So let's just say hypothetically, we give both games to the Dolphins.
Okay. And I think I could see that too. So that's 6-5. And then you've got, I think you sweep the Falcons and the Texans coming to New York.
Agreed.
So that's 8. Okay. We've given the second game to the Dolphins. Now you've got the Commanders coming into town. So we're at 8 wins right now with 3
and that's to go. That's a win for the Jets. I think they beat the Commanders. Sam Howell, I don't think the answer for the Commanders at quarterback is there. I think there's a new owner coming. I think they kind of just put it on pause. There's a new owner coming in, and then the new owner is going to have a lot of say in the direction they go. But I look at it, Jacoby Brissett, Sam Howell, I just don't think they're going to have an answer at that point, you know? So I give that to the Jets, man, which puts us at 9 wins with 2 games left, over under 9.5, Browns and Patriots on the road. So whoever set this line at 9.5, good job, you know?
They knew what they're doing. Gosh. Well, I think right. They split those. I think they split those games.
Right. And if you split them, you can find 10 wins. And yeah, that's with us giving both games to the Dolphins.
That's
right?
Amazing.
So
those two games, plus I think we gave them the was it Seattle in that? No, that was a different one. No. Yeah, that's
we gave amazing. Them, yeah, we kind of went the way of the – we gave the game to the Chargers. That was another close one.
Yes.
So yeah. So they can do it, man. If you believe in Rodgers, then you bet the over. 9.5, I mean, I could see betting the over there. I could see it.
Yeah, I could totally see that too. Totally yeah. See that too. All right, we're going to stop sharing on that one. And then, yeah, that one's – oh, that's going to be fun. So I want – you know what? I know we left a couple of, but we're kind of, you know, going over time. I know you already had 2 hours on a stream today, but
Jorge, with you, man, I don't care. Whatever you and the familia want to do, I'm down to hang out. I forgot we were even doing a show. To be honest, I was just like, I just remembered that people are going to watch this. What's up, everybody? Like, I was just, this is just talking ball with one of your good buddies. So I'm down to hang out.
Let's do the Chargers.
Then we'll move on. Let's just do all 32 teams. You got 5 hours. Let's just go. Let's go through. We'll settle this. We'll hammer it out. Right. I think the Chargers are going to be very interesting because we had so many that were on the fence that we've already said one way or another. Let's see if we can remember what we said exactly, earlier on these Chargers
exactly.
games.
Exactly. So, all right, where's the? We've got the Chargers.
Why would they take the colors off the logos? Come on, dude.
I don't know.
Their Twitter social media does such a good job, but come on, let's get some presentation going here. Okay.
How about big ups for them on the anime?
So good. You go screen by screen. There's all the little behind the scenes like nuggets in there. Oh, amazing job.
So they're over under 9.5. Mm-hmm. And let's look at these guys.
This is impossible.
Man, is it? Ooh, man.
Week one, that's going to be a fun game. That's a fun game because I think the Dolphins are really good. I've always been a Chargers apologist. I'm the one that says it's all there and you just have to put it together. But I also really like this Dolphins team. So I'll defer to you on this one. I love both these teams and I can see it going either way.
And you know what? This game's going to be in SoFi Stadium. Charger games at SoFi Stadium have a tendency to run. So I think this one's going to be a high scoring affair.
Pulling it up right now from the rip, the Dolphins are favored. No, that was last year. Okay. Oh, let me see if I can pull this for week one. Just so we can see, cause I want to see what the, who's favored here. Okay. Chargers are favored 2.5.
So it's basically a toss up game at that point. Right. You know what? I think there's going to be a little growing pains with Kellen Moore in the new offense. So I think there's going to be some points, but I think the Dolphins get them because also the Chargers are rebuilding their secondary and also their run defense has not been tough. So tough on Charger fans. So I'm going to give this one to the Dolphins.
Yeah, and the Dolphins are kind of the same team they were last year, which was a good team with slight improvements, you know? So that's why I kind of like the Dolphins this year. But yeah, so we'll give that to the Dolphins. Titans game we can give to the Chargers, right?
Titans, and so week three, this one's in Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota is such a I will never bet on Minnesota just because Kirk Cousins is he's the master at like digging himself a huge hole and then somehow clawing his way out of it and winning games, right? Like he puts his team behind and then he comes back and always makes it interesting in the fourth, whether they win or not. Like they came back and beat the Patriots. They came back, just barely lost to the Bills. The Vikings are just such a tough team to read. What do you think on that one?
I think, you know what? I think the Vikings get them on this one in a shootout.
Yeah.
So I think
in Minnesota.
Yeah. 1-2. And then even though they play crazy games with the Raiders, I think they win week three. Mm-hmm. And then you got the Cowboys coming into town. That one, we gave that one to the Cowboys, right?
I think we did.
No.
No, that's when we said the Chargers win.
Yeah. So 3-2. So now we're 3-2 going to Kansas City.
3-3. It's too loud in Kansas City. It gets so loud in there.
3-3. So now you got the Bears 4-3.
Jets 5-3. Because we gave that one. Yeah, we gave that one to the Chargers.
And Lions, we gave this one to the Chargers too.
As well. Yeah. 6-3.
6-3. Now you got Green Bay.
I think I gotta give that one to them as well. I mean, there's so many winnable games on here, but the schedule ends in such a rough fashion for the Chargers as well.
They
didn't do them any favors.
Totally didn't do them any favors. You know, that one's so now we're at what? Six?
Six, yep.
With the Ravens coming to town.
I think that one of the Ravens or Patriots can win that. So I'm willing to split those games.
Okay. What do you mean? The Ravens or Patriots?
One or the Ravens. They lose one of these games to the Ravens or the Patriots.
Oh,
the
okay.
Yeah. Because they're that kind of team.
Okay. So that, yeah. I think they might have a, you know, Belichick will scheme something up for Justin Herbert. So I think, okay. So we're at seven wins right now. And with the Broncos coming to town, I think he give that one to the Broncos. And then
you think the Broncos come in and beat the Chargers at home?
Give it to the Chargers. Chargers. I think they're going to split with the Broncos.
I think they'll split with the Broncos. I think they'll beat the Raiders both games, personally. So
that puts us at nine, right?
Yeah, nine with the Bills and the Chiefs coming in. So I actually might, even though I'm a Chargers apologist, I might be in a position to bet the under on the Chargers. The Chargers have a new coach coming in and a very difficult schedule. This end of season schedule is Bills, Chargers, Chiefs. They could be coming in with a situation where they need to win out to make the playoffs, and these are the games.
Jeez, man. Yeah, they could be leaving the Raiders at nine wins and then still being like, ooh, man. Maybe they take one, but
this middle part of the schedule, Bears, Jets, Lions, Packers, Ravens, Pats, they need to take care of business. This team needs to take care of business after, because they got the Cowboys and the Chiefs, right? If you can win one of those games, you're feeling all right. You need to absolutely go on a run and win that stretch in the middle right there from October. Like, they need to have a good November, right? Or else they're going to be in big trouble. This Chargers schedule is pretty rough. I'm not going to lie.
I think it's going to be tough for them to get to 10 wins. It really is, especially with that closing. So I think we're going under. I think we're going under on that one.
Not to mention, we had to give them wins against the Lions and Cowboys because we already said it earlier, but those games are close too, right? Like, so some of these ones that we already pre-decided, who knows on that? Betting the under on the Chargers might be the move.
I think so. It's going to be tough because I think people, because of Justin Herbert, they're going to be very apt to say, hey, you know what? We're going over on that one. But yeah, looking at the games, it's going to be tough for them.
Tough, man, because the division playing the AFC East, right? It's like the Dolphins are good. Aaron Rodgers, the Bills are good. The Patriots, you know, you give them that game, but the Patriots they can win any game. You know, we don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl, but you go into every single game saying they could win this game because of Bill Belichick, you know?
And they're in Gillette, like, and they're in Gillette for that game. So,
right.
The Chargers haven't, I mean, Justin Herbert can throw in a monsoon, but maybe not a monsoon, but he could throw in a hurricane. But still, I'm not going to take my chances
when it gets
cold and it's in Gillette. So, yeah. Oh man.
They got to have a good stretch there, and they got to take care of the Raiders and the Broncos. That's the MO. That's what you got to be talking about in that locker room.
Yeah. Well, last one, close up shop. Talk a little Mexican food, mi amigo. What are some of your favorites?
So I've got a number, right? And I break them down into different things because you got like chains, right? And then you got the very like local places, right? So like, you know, you had mentioned El Pelon. So yeah. I go to the one that's over by BC. That's the one I'm used to. Those two, where there's multiple locations, I like that one. I like another place called, have you ever heard of Anna's Taqueria?
No.
So there's a couple locations, but dude, they take the tortilla and they put it down on this thing that's like a fryer, right? It's like, it's like a press, but like a fryer. Then they put the cheese on there. And then they put the burrito. Then they put the burrito in, and then they fry, and then they hit it again. So it basically comes out like not just like panini pressed, but like fried almost. Like, these are unbelievable, man, unbelievable. Beyond that, there's a place in Waltham. Local people to the area know Waltham. It's where Bentley University is, where I went to school. I lived there for like 10 years. There's a Mexican place over there that is. It's a hole in the wall. Like, you walk in and you're like, what the hell is this place, dude? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like the menus are sticky and the music's way too loud because they love it like that. And, you know, and And that's the exact kind of place that makes homemade Mexican. That's just it's just called Taqueria Mexico. That's what it is. That's what they just named it. Taqueria Mexico in Waltham. I love, and the food, I haven't been there lately, but like I would go in there and we would get full meals with leftovers for a full meal and drinks and pay like $20. Like it is just like the exact kind of place you're looking for. If you're looking for like the real deal, like as you know, out here, we don't have like much in terms of real deal Mexican. Right. But like you got over where you live, that's like, yeah, you could probably give me 100 places that are better than the best place here. But if you're out here and you're missing it, that's the place that I like. That's the place that I like personally. So
I don't know. It sounds pretty authentic what you were talking about there. And that's right. my kind of place.
It's the vibe. Yeah. It is the familia vibe. Like you go in there and they obviously love us when we go in there because we're ordering everything. Right. And we're making it rain. We tip. It's easy to tip well when it's so cheap, you know? So yeah, I love that. I love that stuff. Dude, the Mexican and Brazilian food, those are my two. Yeah. I love a good Brazilian steakhouse. If they put this stuff on there called like a farofa on the, yeah, man, all for it. Dude. All for it,
man. Oh man. This is
really what makes you think that, you know, white people food sucks. You know, it's like we're just eating like unseasoned chicken and like peanut butter and jelly. You know, it's like all the good food comes from, you know, is the ethnic food for real though. I could eat Mexican every day, man.
Oh, love it, love it. Oh, mi amigo. Well, I'm glad we did every day on this one, mi amigo. Oh, this is so much great stuff.
I knew we were gonna do this, Rory. I knew we were gonna talk for. We said we're gonna do an hour, and I said at the beginning, I was like, I knew we were going to, the moment we started talking about basketball, I knew we were going to do this, but whatever, man. I love hanging out with you, bro. It's always a good time, dude.
Oh, mi amigo. Well, you know what? You got so much great stuff coming up. What are you working on right now?
Yeah. So I'm doing videos every day. If you go to my Twitter is the easiest place right here at Coupe Fiasco. I always retweet anything I post, videos, articles. So if you just follow me there, you're not going to miss any of it. But if you're looking for old stuff, you just go to Fantasy Alarm, Andrew Cooper. All my stuff's archived there. A lot of evergreen tight end strategies like this, where if you learn it once, you'll know it forever, right? And I'm doing player profile articles. I'm doing all sorts of stuff. So always something new over there at Fantasy Alarm. And we're just trying to help you win your leagues, honestly, and have a good time.
Oh, well, this was beyond a good time. Beyond a good time, mi amigo. Oh, familia. Eso es todo for our show. Once again, thank you to our invitado, Andrew. Un millón de gracias, mi amigo. One more time, let's get you know, at Coupe Fiasco on Twitter. Familia, you can find all my stuff at Jorge Martin 17. One more time, give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. Por favor, por favor. A lot of great stuff coming out. A lot of great stuff coming out. I'm previewing a couple things that I think you're going to like. Some little nostalgia that you're going to like. Also, make sure Underdog, Familia 23, Familia 23, if you want to do it in Spanish. And again, you found me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Familia FFB, Familia, and FamiliaFFB.com. I'm going to have an article coming out on that Hermanos strategy coming up.
People out there are going to go just load up on running backs and wide receivers and then go Hermanos, QB, and Yin Yang tight ends. Our powers combined.
Oh,
blowing leagues up this year, my boy.
Blowing them up. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Oh, and lastly, if you guys want this on audio, Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Muchas gracias, everybody. Otra vez, muchas gracias. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.